Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles today to 1 Peter. I would like to read from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 19 and reading through verse 21. The subject that's on my heart today is the subject of suffering. S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G. Suffering. We don't like to think about suffering. We don't like physical suffering. Brother Joey has been through surgery and he's been in a tremendous amount of pain from that surgery and prior to the surgery. That's one kind of suffering that we sometimes experience is physical pain or suffering. Sometimes we suffer because of the loss of loved ones. We feel pain and heartache from that. Sometimes we suffer just because our friends have maybe turned against us in some way and hurt us in some way, and that causes suffering. But the main cause of suffering in the Word of God that the Bible speaks about is the people of God suffering for well-doing. The Word of God also talks about people suffering, God's people suffering as a trial of our faith. Those are the two main things we'll be looking at. The Bible also speaks about suffering for evil-doing. That is, when I do wrong, God's going to cause me to suffer in my life for evil doing. So all suffering, I believe all suffering falls into one of three categories: either suffering for well doing, or suffering for evil doing, or suffering as a trial of our faith. Reading now from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, reading through verse 21, the Word of God says, "For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully." That suffering wrongfully, the same thing as I just mentioned a moment ago, when we're suffering for well-doing. You're doing something that's right, you're doing something that's good, and yet you suffer for that. The life of Jesus Christ was full of suffering for well-doing. He experienced a tremendous amount of suffering wrongfully. Now verse 20 says, "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently?" In other words, when you do wrong and you suffer for doing wrong, that's not thankworthy. That's not glorifying God. He says, "But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called." That is, you were called to suffer. You were called to suffer for well-doing. You were called to suffer patiently. Sometimes we suffer a little bit and we want to murmur and complain like we've just been nailed to the cross for some little thing that we're suffering for. But we need to learn to suffer. We need to learn to suffer a lot. We need to learn to suffer for well-doing. We need to learn to suffer and take it patiently. We need to endure suffering, and we need to be able to be happy in the Lord while we're enduring suffering. There are many of the saints of God and the Word of God that while they were suffering, they rejoiced that they had the privilege of suffering for Christ's sake, suffering for well-doing, suffering for right living, suffering for righteousness' sake. The more that evil prevails in our land, and evil is prevailing in America today, the more that evil prevails, the more suffering that faithful Christians are going to experience. Because faithful Christians cannot sit back and ignore the ungodliness in our land today. It is up to you and I as the people of God to let our light shine before men. It is up to us to uphold the banner and standard of truth and righteousness. It is your responsibility as a child of God. When you see evil going on, it is your responsibility to stand up against that evil. For your voice to be heard when you hear and see things that are ungodly, you're supposed to speak up. And when you speak up and when you stand up, you're going to be persecuted for doing what's right. You're going to be called narrow-minded, bigoted, judgmental, pharisaical, holier than thou, self-righteous. You're going to be called all kinds of names when you try to do what's right. You need to not worry about that. I know early in my Christian walk, I used to try to, every time I heard about somebody saying something bad, I wanted to go and I wanted to confront that person. Well, that's not taking it patiently. Listen, brethren, if I'm following Christ and serving God, I can't spend all my time trying to straighten out everything that people say that are false. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 12, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." What are they going to do? They're going to say false things about you. And how are you supposed to react? Take it patiently. Count it all joy that you have the privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ's sake. He says in this whole passage of Scripture. In fact, when you read Peter's writings, I think he probably writes more about suffering for well-doing, suffering for Christ's sake. I think Peter writes more about it than anyone else. I think a lot of it has to do with his personality. Peter was very outspoken. I doubt that Peter was ever around sin that he didn't speak up and speak out. And because of his outspoken ways, because of his burning zeal to stand up for what was right, people were continuously persecuting Peter. They hated him, just like they hated Jesus. They hated Jesus, not because Jesus came and saved people from their sins. They hated Jesus because he stood up for what was right. They hated Jesus because he stood against sin. They hated Jesus because, as he would speak, for example, in Matthew chapter 23, just about the whole chapter, he keeps saying, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." He uses that expression quite a number of times. And every time he uses that expression, he's telling them, he's not talking about somebody down the road. He's talking to the people who are doing wrong. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." Just like Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen stood and said to those people, he didn't talk about sinners down the road, did he? He said to the people that he was in their presence, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did resist the Holy Ghost, so do ye." And how did they respond to Peter's message? They gnashed on him with their teeth. They stoned him. And yet Stephen was lifted up. Did Stephen suffer? Did Stephen suffer? Some heads are going, "No, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I believe Stephen did suffer." Stephen suffered in many ways. I believe there were many of those people that Stephen was talking to that were his friends. I think it hurt Stephen to see them reject and rebel against the truth that he was speaking. I think it hurt him to see his friends persecute him. I think it hurt him to see those people. I think he physically hurt, and I think his heart was broken over the rejection of those people of the Word of God. He suffered. Stephen suffered. You know, the Hebrew children, we want to experience what Stephen did, don't we? What did Stephen experience? What was the glorious experience in Acts chapter 7 after Stephen had spoken those words and after the people had reacted so violently Then the scripture says, Stephen saw the heavens opened. I'll tell you, brethren, he saw the Son of Man, the scripture says, standing at the right hand of the Father. In the past two or three weeks, I've mentioned this, but I've never thought about it before. We sing the song sometimes, stand up for Jesus, stand up for Jesus. We have that duty and responsibility to stand up for Jesus. And when we stand up for Jesus, we're going to suffer. But I want you to know that when you stand up for Jesus, Jesus will stand up for you, just like he did for Stephen. You see, Stephen stood up for Jesus, and then Jesus stood up for Stephen, and Jesus blessed Stephen. We want to experience that blessing like Stephen did. But in order to experience that blessing, we have to be willing to suffer first. We want to experience, I want to feel like the three Hebrew children that were down in that burning, not in the burning furnace, but listen to the rest of the sentence. I want to experience the joy of Jesus being with me in a burning fiery furnace. But I don't want to go through the burning fiery furnace. I just want to feel Jesus with me. You can't feel Jesus with you like those three Hebrew children did until you're willing to suffer like they suffered. All through the scriptures, the Word of God tells us about people who stood up for what was right, who refused to do what was wrong, who would not compromise. And every one of them suffered, like Peter is talking about here. They suffered, they endured, they suffered patiently, they honored God, they stood up for what was right, and they suffered at the hands of men. But who can comfort us when we are suffering at the hands of men? Who can comfort us? Jesus, God. God can comfort us. He'll send the Holy Comforter. He'll send the Holy Spirit to bless you to feel that peace of God that passeth all understanding. Look at 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, the same opening in my Bible as 1 Peter 2 that we just read. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. The Word of God says, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." Happy are ye? Happy? How can you be happy if you're suffering? Well, it's because of what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 11 and 12, I just mentioned how he said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And then he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." I'll tell you, brethren, there are great rewards for the obedient children of God who are willing to suffer for Christ's sake. There are great rewards in the kingdom of heaven. That's the heaven under consideration in Matthew 5:12. There are no rewards in the eternal heaven, but God does reward his people in the kingdom of heaven while they live here in this world. Therefore, if you suffer for Christ's sake, you can be happy because you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he told him in 2 Timothy, I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus," talking about doing what? Living godly in Christ Jesus. "Yea, and all that will live godly," not some, but all, "yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Are you going to suffer if you follow Jesus? You know, I get concerned, upset, you can fill in the blank just about, when I hear people say, "Just walk down the aisle, join the church, and you're just going to have a life of ease and a bed of roses." And let me tell you something, you follow Christ, you're going to suffer. You do what's right. If you're not suffering, I'm going to reiterate, if you're not suffering for Christ's sake, if you're not suffering for doing what's right, you're not doing what's right and not following Jesus. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so he says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Don't be afraid of men. You ought not to be afraid of any man. You ought not to be afraid of all the people in the world. Jesus says, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Do you follow that? The world hated Jesus, didn't they? And the world will hate you if you're going to follow in. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to suffer. But as he's talking, as Peter's talking about all of this suffering, he's saying that you don't have to follow Jesus. You don't have to do what's right. But let me tell you, you're going to suffer when you don't stand up, and you're going to suffer when you don't do what's right too. And so he makes this statement in 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. As he continues to speak about suffering in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, "For it is better." You're talking about suffering. A lot of different, I mentioned three different causes for suffering. Here's the better. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Now, if you're not standing up for what's right, you're doing evil. The Bible says in James chapter 4, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If you're not standing up for what's right, if you're not defending the truth, if you're not speaking out against the ungodliness in this world, it's sin. What do you think is the main thing that keeps us from speaking up when we know somebody's about to say something or is saying something that is wrong and ungodly? Somebody is maybe using profanity. Somebody's going to say, they start talking about somebody in a very negative way. They start condemning somebody. And what do you think that keeps you from speaking up sometimes? What is it that keeps you from speaking up when somebody is living a very, very ungodly lifestyle and you're around them and you know their ungodly lifestyle, but you don't dare open your mouth, you don't say anything to them? A lot of different things that might cause you to not open your mouth, but you're going to suffer if you don't open your mouth, if you don't say what's right in God's sight. And if you don't say it in the right spirit, you're going to suffer for it. It is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You're going to suffer either way. You're either going to suffer for well-doing or you're going to suffer for evil-doing. If you suffer for well-doing, that suffering comes from men and from Satan. But God will comfort you when you suffer for well-doing. But if you suffer for evil-doing, that suffering comes from God, and no man and no amount of money and nothing else can comfort you when the suffering is coming from God. That's not hard to figure out. It's better, if the will of God be so that you have to suffer, it's better that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Verse 18, he says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for..." Did Jesus suffer? Oh, he suffered all his life. But he especially suffered when he went to the cross of Calvary. He suffered when they nailed him to the cross. He suffered when they spit upon him. He suffered when they put that crown of thorns on his head. He suffered in all that they did against Jesus. But he suffered for our sins, not for his own. He didn't do anything wrong. But he suffered for me and for you. And so the scripture says in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Jesus suffered, but God was with him. Come down to chapter 4, verse 1. "For as much then," this is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, "for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." The same mind as whom? Same mind as Christ. "Let this mind," Philippians 2, 5 says, "let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We need to have the mind of Christ. So now he says in 1 Peter 4, 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." If you're not willing to suffer in the flesh, if you're not willing to suffer, then you're sinning because you're not willing to suffer for Christ's sake. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Now, Have you ever been shocked at suffering? Have you ever been shocked at persecution? Have you ever been shocked when you did good and people said something bad about you? Have you ever been shocked when you were doing what was right and you were accused of not caring? Did you know people that do what's right often, here's a common accusation. They just don't have a heart. They don't have a heart. They don't care about people. They don't care about people. A church that carries out church discipline, you know, that's a common statement. They don't care about people. They don't love people. Let me tell you something, brethren, a church that doesn't carry out church discipline biblically, they are the ones who do not care about people. But you have to be willing for this world that has everything upside down, you have to be willing for people to say, you don't have a heart. Or here's another common expression, you don't know what grace is. Grace. You got to be gracious. And they speak as if grace means that you just ignore all ungodliness. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, as the Bible speaks of. It's taking the grace of God and making it what it is not. Grace never means that you overlook sin. Are you going to be shocked when suffering comes because you do what's right? Are you going to be shocked when suffering comes when you do what's right? Look in your Bibles at 1 Peter 4:12. Here's what he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Now listen carefully. The fiery, what's the next word in this verse? The fiery what? The fiery trial. Listen carefully now. The Word of God is here talking about a fiery trial that comes to the children of God who are doing what's right. They experience fiery trials. You remember I told you earlier that all suffering either comes, suffering for well-doing, or suffering for evil-doing, or suffering as a trial of your faith. There are fiery trials that God sometimes brings into our lives. Do you know anybody that went through some fiery trials in his life in the Word of God? Do you know somebody that went through a lot of fiery trials? A lot of them. But name one, that first one that comes to your mind when you think about fiery trials. Job went through some fiery trials, didn't he? He says, think it not strange. There's a difference in fiery trials and fiery judgments. Everybody hear that? Andy, tell me the difference in a fiery judgment. What causes fiery judgments in my life? Wrongdoing. Squeeze him for me, Sister Katie, would you just hug him there? There, girl. And what causes fiery trials in our lives? Following Christ. See there? You get an A+ for today. Fiery trials come from following Christ. Fiery judgments come from walking contrary to God's Word and God's way. So Peter here says, now think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Doesn't say it might come. It's coming. It's coming. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have fiery trials. If you're not having fiery trials, if you're not familiar with what fiery trials are, you are not following Jesus. Because you will have fiery trials if you follow Jesus. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It shouldn't be strange to you. It happened to Jesus. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to experience trials, fiery trials, just like Jesus did. He says, as though some strange thing happened to you. Verse 13, he says, but rejoice. Rejoice when? When do you rejoice? In its context. What is he saying to rejoice about? Rejoice that you have a fiery trial. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now the glory of Christ being revealed here is when he manifests his glory in the lives of his obedient children who are willing to suffer for Christ's sake. And when he reveals his glory, you're going to have great joy because of the enduring of the fiery trials that you just went through. He says in verse 14, he says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. Somebody gets mad at you because you're following God's word, you smile. Say, thank you. Thank you. You want to hate me for being a Christian? It's all right. They hated my Savior. You're going to have to suffer as a Christian? Yes, you are. but rejoice and be exceeding glad. He says in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. That's suffering for what in verse 15? Suffering for evildoing, suffering for wrongdoing. He says in verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Verse 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. What's he saying do when you are suffering? When somebody's speaking evil about you, did you know people will literally make up lies? They will literally make up lies. It's happened to me. And let me say this. It doesn't hurt me near as much when people in the world and ungodly people out there make up lies as it does when my brothers and my sisters in Christ, when they make up lies, when they do and when they say things to hurt me, that hurts. But I still ought to rejoice, because when I think about Jesus, it wasn't just the world that forsook him. It wasn't just the world that denied him. It wasn't just the world that betrayed him. The scripture says all his disciples forsook him and fled. Judas Iscariot sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter denied him. The man who right now is speaking, he denied Jesus repeatedly. Did Peter suffer while he was denying Christ? Yes, he did. But after the resurrection of Jesus, there was a great change in Peter's life, and Peter was willing to suffer. And Peter stood on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, and he preached the word of God in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And he told those people that he was preaching to, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Peter wasn't afraid anymore. He was willing to die, willing to suffer, willing to die. And then in Acts chapter 5, when they brought in the apostles and they beat them and they said, don't you speak in the name of Jesus anymore. The scripture says they went on their way rejoicing. They were happy. Beat me. Kill me. Do what you want to. But may God give us the strength and grace that no matter what the world does, no matter how big the suffering gets, did you know that there are untold thousands of Christians who have been slaughtered, who have been burned at the stake, set on fire, and burned up because they would not deny Jesus Christ? Did you know there are Christians who are being killed today? In other countries, there are Christians who are being killed because they are willing to suffer for Christ's sake. What a shame and a disgrace that we live in a free land where we can stand up and speak out, but we're silent. And yet in those other countries where they're put to death for standing up for Jesus, they stand up anyway, and they die to honor Jesus Christ, their Savior. May God help us to be willing to suffer, to endure it patiently, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
This morning we began trying to look at the subject of suffering. The Word of God says that it is better, if the will of God be so, that we suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. All suffering, I believe, falls into one of three categories: either suffering for well-doing, suffering for evil-doing, or suffering as a trial of our faith. Peter writes more about suffering than anyone else in the Bible. While we were singing, that question came to my mind. Why was Peter so involved in teaching us so much about suffering? Why is so much of Peter's writing about suffering? Of course, I think that one of the reasons is because he had suffered. I want to re-mention some of the statements Peter makes about suffering, and then I think I have an answer that came to me while we were singing about why Peter writes so much about suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, the Word of God says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." So it's important that we endure grief and that we are willing to suffer wrongfully. "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." So it's important that we are willing to suffer and that we take it patiently, that we endure those sufferings and that we withstand against all the various kinds of sufferings we have to experience. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." If we're suffering for righteousness' sake, he says, "Happy are ye." Then he says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Christ suffered, and we ought to be willing to suffer also. Jesus makes this statement. He says, "The servant is not greater than his Lord." Now, if I don't feel greater than Christ, and I know how much Christ suffered, how willingly he suffered, I ought to be willing to suffer also. And he says in chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." It says in verse 16, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, he says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And he says in verse 19, 1 Peter 4, 19, he says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." So when you're suffering, you don't need to try to get even with those who are bringing the suffering, but you need to commit your soul unto God. Remember that God says that we're to say, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Leave it in the hands of God. And don't ever try to retaliate for those that bring suffering in your life. He says in 1 Peter 5:10, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now, all these scriptures, and there are others that I didn't touch on, but in all these scriptures that Peter writes about, he keeps talking about us suffering and the importance of us understanding that we need to know that we're going to suffer, we need to know that we ought to be enduring suffering, and we ought not to be thinking it strange when those sufferings come. And here's what the Lord gave to me, or reminded me of, while we were singing. I believe this is the reason that Peter writes so much about suffering. Have you ever done something wrong and somebody said something harshly to you when you did something that was wrong? I'm talking about you did something wrong and somebody said something so harshly that you never forget it as long as you live. It's there. It's made such a strong impression on you that you did something and you were rebuked sharply. I want you to look in your Bibles just a moment. I believe this is the reason that Peter writes so much about suffering. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We find that in this particular point in Peter's life, Peter did not know that Christ was going to suffer, and he didn't know how much he was going to have to suffer. So in Matthew chapter 16, Listen to verses 21, beginning in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. You hear Peter rebuking Jesus? I don't know of anybody else in all the scriptures that ever rebuked Jesus. Certainly not any other apostle ever rebuked Jesus. Here's what Jesus said to him. Verse 23 says, But he turned, that is Jesus turned, and said unto Peter. Now I want you to remember that. He didn't turn and talk to the devil. He turned and he said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Well, I'll tell you what, if you ever called me Satan, I think I would remember what it was that I did that would cause you to call me Satan. Do you understand? And the reason that Jesus spoke so harshly is that Peter did not understand that Jesus was going to have to suffer. He didn't understand how much Jesus was going to have to suffer. And he didn't understand that all Christians are going to have to suffer. And so Jesus makes such an emphatic statement to Peter right here that he says, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Men don't want to suffer. Peter didn't want Jesus to have to suffer. But Jesus is making it very clear and speaking very bluntly to Peter. And he said, You get behind me, Satan. He called Peter Satan. You might not think that's what that's talking about. If you want to try to explain it to me some other way, but I think he called Peter Satan right here. He said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. And I don't think Peter ever forgot. I don't think he ever, from that time on, I don't think he ever forgot the fact that Jesus was going to have to suffer. If Jesus ever again, see, the Bible doesn't record everything that Jesus ever said, but if Jesus ever again was around Peter and said, I've got to go suffer now, I bet Peter didn't open his mouth and said, Lord, I'll be praying for you. I know you're going to have to suffer. I understand now you're going to have to suffer. And you're going to have to suffer, and you're going to have to suffer, and you're going to have to suffer, and we all are going to have to suffer as Christians. Not just talking about suffering the various kinds of infirmities and inflictions that our bodies have in sickness and growing old and things like that, but I'm talking about that we have to learn to suffer as a Christian. We have to be willing to have people say all manner of evil against us falsely for Christ's sake. We have to be willing to be persecuted for Christ's sake. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He also wrote to Timothy and said, If we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. And that reigning with him is here in this world. God's people can reign with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. It's only, though, when we are willing to suffer with him that we will reign with him. Now, look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to begin by looking at the fact that you and I, as the people of God, we need to be willing to suffer. We need to even choose to suffer rather than choosing an easy life. My flesh and your flesh will always choose the path of least resistance. My flesh and your flesh does not want to suffer. If I have a choice of an easy road to walk and a hard road to walk, I'm going to choose the easy route. But as a Christian, we can't do that. And so look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see that the Word of God tells us here about Moses. And the Scripture tells us that he chose to suffer. Hebrews chapter 11, listen please, beginning in verse 24, the Word of God says in Hebrews 11, 24, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had a choice to make. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Brethren, every born-again child of God needs to know that if you choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin, and your flesh does enjoy the pleasures of sin, but if that's the choice you make, you need to understand two things. You need to understand what Paul declares here is that you can only, as a child of God, you can only enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because in the life of every child of God, though you may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, you need to understand those pleasures of sin are going to stop. And you need to understand also, not only can you only enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but you need to know that God will bring His judgments in your life if you choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So you need to understand they're going to end, those pleasures of sin. They're going to stop. And God's judgment is coming in our lives if we choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin rather than choosing to suffer affliction. To what? To suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm glad to be able to be a part of a church that's willing to suffer for Christ's sake. I am thankful that as a church body that you're willing to do what God's Word says rather than to enjoy the prestige of men or the glory of men. You would rather enjoy the fellowship of Christ. And that's the choice we make when we choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin, when we choose to please men rather than pleasing God, we're losing fellowship with God. Choose to suffer. That's what Moses did. The Bible says that that's what Peter did. That's what Paul did. That's what all the other saints of God, Old and New Testament, every one of them that ever walked with God, they made a right choice, and the choice was to follow God. But when they chose to follow God, they were choosing to suffer afflictions. And I need to be willing to suffer as a Christian. Go with me forward in your Bibles just a couple of pages after it talks about Moses chose to suffer afflictions. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Listen please to verses 10 and 11. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. The Word of God says, James is writing, and remember, who is the one person that wrote more about suffering in the Bible than anyone else? Who is that one man? Peter. And you just got a whole basket full of scriptures where Peter's talking about suffering. And he learned something on that day when he didn't want Jesus to suffer. And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He learned Christians have to suffer. And so now he helps us by writing so much about suffering that we're without excuse. You cannot read what Peter wrote and not understand you're going to have to suffer. Peter has saved a lot of children of God from having Jesus rebuke them like he rebuked Peter. He has saved them sharp rebuke from Jesus by giving us those words. If the people of God will listen to the Word of God and they'll listen to what Peter wrote, it will save us from having to go through what Peter did in his life. And then Paul writes a lot about suffering. And now James, listen, James chapter 5, James 5, verses 10 and 11. The Word of God says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." Now, we talked earlier about suffering and the importance of us patiently enduring suffering. And now he says, now, James is writing, and James says, I want you to take as an example the prophets, as an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Then you go back and study the Old Testament. You study those great prophets. Study about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all those great prophets, and you'll find in every one of their lives they suffered. And the Bible in the New Testament says, now, you take those as an example of suffering. And then in verse 11, he says this, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Happy which endure what? Happy which endure suffering. Those who patiently endure suffering, joy comes. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God blesses his people when they're willing to suffer for Christ's sake. And so he says now in verse 11, he says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." Patience in what? I ask you, patience in what? patience in suffering. He says, you've heard of the patience of Job, patience in suffering, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, the New Testament says, remember those prophets. Take them as a good example of people who suffered. Then he says, and also remember Job. Remember how Job suffered. Back up in your Bibles to Job just a moment, since the New Testament tells us to remember Job. And brethren, Job is one. You need to know the book of Job. You need to study the book of Job. I think there are 42 chapters in the book of Job. And I want to encourage everybody here, read the book of Job over and over and over. There's a lot for me and you to learn from the book of Job. Not just in the first two or three chapters, but all the way through the book of Job. Every page, there's a lot for us to learn about suffering in the book of Job. About how to take suffering patiently. In Job, listen in Job chapter 1, you remember how the devil came to Jesus and the Lord said to Satan, this is Job chapter 1 and verse 8. The Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered, listen to these words, my servant Job. There's several of you that I would say, you're my son, you're my son, you're my son. Now, when God says to Satan, have you considered my servant, Job? Isn't that a blessing? God called him his servant. Job didn't call himself a servant of God. Other people didn't just call him a servant of God. God said, look at my servant. Look at him. I want you to watch the wording he says. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? I want you to think about that. What if tonight, if God says to Satan, Satan, look all over the earth. There's nobody on the earth like Brother Philip. You understand? At this point in time, there was nobody on the earth that was as close to God as Job was. And what is God doing when he says, Satan, look at Job? You know what he's doing? You know what God knows he's fixing to do? God knows he's fixing to allow Satan to wreak havoc in his life. Was God wrong to do that? No, listen, brethren. Every child of God, every saint of God that has ever suffered much, that knows anything about the Bible, they have remembered Job. They thought a lot about Job. Many times in my life I've thought about, I have never suffered as much in one day as Job did. Neither have you. In one day, Satan began to come into Job's life and began to afflict him. And the first thing he did was took away every possession he had. And he was a rich man. And he took away all of his possessions. And then he came and he took away. Job was blessed with 10 children. And in one day, Job lost not only all of his possessions, but all 10 of his children died in one day. And his servants were dying. Boom, boom, boom. His servants, his sheep, his cattle, his oxen. And then all 10 of his children were dead. And Job, the scripture says in Job 1 verse 20, look at the wording. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think Job was weeping? Do you think Job was crying? Do you think Job was suffering? Yes, he was suffering. This idea that some saints of God don't suffer is just a lie from the devil. Job suffered. He wept. He cried. Job 1 verse 20, the word of God says, then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I just want us to all just jump up and start saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'll tell you, brethren, for a man to stand like Job stood, it's a reason for all the other saints of God to stand up and salute him and say, good job, Job. Good job. Excellent job. I love to see the saints of God, when they're enduring temptation, I love to see them take it patiently. I love to see saints of God that are going through trouble and heartache and physical problems and persecutions, and they never question God. They do as Job does here. And they say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And they never doubt God. And they never question God. And they never get angry with God. They're happy in the Lord. They're suffering the way the Bible tells us to suffer. And the devil wasn't satisfied. And so then the devil and God talk again. And see, God has already told Satan he couldn't touch his body. And now in chapter 2, God and the devil are talking. And the Lord says, now you can touch his body. But you can't take his life. And Satan began to afflict Job with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. His body was covered in boils. And those boils were painful. If you've ever had one boil, how many of you have ever had a boil? I'll tell you, brethren, they are painful. One boil is painful. And Job had them all over his body. You can't comprehend the pain his body was in. You can't comprehend how ugly Job looked with those boils all over his body. And he was reeking and ravished with pain. He was suffering beyond description. And his wife finally said, curse God and die. Tricia, don't you ever do that. I just give up. I don't think I'm as strong as Job. In all my sufferings, my wife has always been faithful to stand by me. Job's wife said, curse God and die. And listen, I want to read 9 and 10. Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Do you think Job suffered when his wife said that? You think Job suffered? You think it hurt him to hear her say that? Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Then said his wife unto him, that is to Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he, that's Job, said unto his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He suffered. And he did it patiently, and he endured. Now, I know that in chapter 3, if you go read chapter 3, you know what he does? He begins to cry and wail and say, oh, I wish I'd never been born. It's all right. It's all right, brethren. You think God was mad with him? I don't think the Lord was mad with him. Job got weary. Job wore out. The Lord remembers we're flesh. The Lord was still pleased with Job's life. I'll tell you why I know the Lord was pleased with Job's life in spite of the fact that he got weak and weary and faint, began to argue with his friends, and his friends argued with him about what sin had caused such horrible pain in his life. Go to the end of the book of Job, Job chapter 42. This is a wonderful thing about suffering. Did you know that God, I'm going to say this, I believe that God always reverses and takes away. Eventually, God always reverses the suffering. Now, please listen to what I mean. Job suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered. And then in the end of the book of Job, in Job chapter 42, Job 42 and verse 5, Job says to God, he says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Brethren, Job was closer to God. At the end of all that he went through, he was closer to God than he had ever been before. He said in Job 23, he said, I know God's working in front of me and behind me and on the left hand and the right hand, but I can't find him anywhere. I can't find the Lord. I don't feel his presence. I don't feel his peace. But I know that he knows where I am and what I'm going through. And when he's through with me, I'll come forth as gold tried in the fire. This is a fulfillment of that. He came through on the other side. He came forth as gold tried in the fire. He saw the Lord clearly now. You think Peter saw the Lord clearly when he had rebuked Jesus and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You think Peter began to see Jesus more clearly there? I think he did. Right here, Job sees the Lord clearly. And then Job prayed for his friends. Look at verse 10. Job 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You think it was hard for him to pray for his friends? Do you think his flesh wanted to? Listen, brethren, I would have said, Lord, now, I've been through a lot, and I think you need to put all three of those friends through the same thing I went through so they can experience what I've experienced. And then I want you to send some friends to them and have their friends tell them, you've done something wrong. What kind of sin have you committed to cause all this suffering? Had Job done wrong to cause the suffering that he was going through? Absolutely not. Job was a righteous man, a man that feared God, a man that shunned evil. It was not Job suffering for evil doing. It was Job suffering as a trial of his faith. And his faith was strong. And in the end, what did God do? God gave him twice of what he had before. Some people say, well, he just got 10 more children. I'll tell you what, you ask anybody that's ever had a child to die, they never lose that child. Now, Job's 10 children died, and God gave Job 10 more children. And Job had 20 children when it was all over. You understand me? And all those animals, he gave them twice as many of each of those animals. When it got to the children, he gave them 10 more children. And now he's got 20 children instead of 10. He has 10 that are with him, and he has 10 that are home with the Lord. But he's still got his 20 children. Yeah. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to suffer for Christ's sake. Be willing to endure suffering. Be willing to take it patiently. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 18, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. I think Job could have said the same thing. He could have said when it was all over, he said, you know, I reckon that the sufferings I went through back there, they were nothing compared to the glory that I'm experiencing in Job 42. He experienced the glory of the Lord. He saw the Lord clearly. He had heard about God. He knew the Lord, but he didn't know God as well as he did when he finished going through all of those sufferings. Listen carefully in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Listen carefully in closing. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, he says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, for unto you. How many of you believe in Jesus? How many of you believe in Jesus? Believe in Jesus. I'm glad you believe in Jesus. And I think probably most children of God, I think most of them believe in Jesus, and it's good to believe in Jesus. But there's something more that Jesus has told you to do. There's something more that God has told you to do other than just believe in Jesus. Philippians 1:29, the Word of God says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. He's called on you to believe on Him, but He's also called on you to suffer for His sake. May God help us, brethren. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, after he said it's been given to you not only to believe on Christ but also to suffer. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Suffering, suffering, suffering for well-doing. Suffering as a trial of your faith. Suffer for Christ's sake. Be willing to endure suffering because there's joy at the end of suffering. Here's the closing. Don't know right where it is right now, but listen. Jesus said, I think it was maybe when he was walking with the two men from Emmaus, and he said this. He said, when they were very sad because Jesus had suffered and died, Jesus said to those men, ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into His glory? You see that? Ought not Christ to have suffered and to what? Enter into His glory. One day, by the grace of God, we're all going to enter into His eternal glory. But we can enter into His glory right now in the kingdom of heaven if we're willing to suffer for Christ's sake. May God help us is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503, or call us 912-285-9193. Lord willing, join us next Sunday. And until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.